And unfortunately, there's this assumption, bell-to-bell teaching, okay, they're all here, sit down, let's go, let's get started. I want you to have a learner that you're getting to teach to. So if you don't think you have the time to take 60 seconds to get the brain ready, believe me, you're wasting all kinds of time when you're trying to teach a brain that isn't ready. And then, of course, ways to train them to be able to sit in a more regulated fashion in their chair, to really feel their bodies more present, their brains more present.
Dr. Melrose, can you tell us a little bit about your work with trauma-informed education?
I sure can. It spans 30 years now. I can't even believe that. I started 30 years ago in a setting that was like a clinical school. It was for kids who couldn't be in the regular school system because of their erratic behaviors, their emotional dysregulation, because of their life experiences that had really altered their brain's capacity to be present and to learn. That's where I started 30 years ago. And at that time, we were talking about a theory that we were calling old brain versus new brain, that we were discovering through the earlier parts of neuroscience using MRIs. We've only had MRIs since 1990, if you can believe that. And so all that time ago, we were just discovering that the brain had so much to do, of course, this shouldn't be surprising, with whether or not we, our newer brain, could have more governance over our more primitive, older part of our brain. And we were realizing that if there were key injuries, mishaps, you know, in the development of this more primitive brain, that that was going to be set in a way that it would override this newer, more human and very school-oriented brain. So there's this struggle, a struggle between these primitive responses and this more rational, reasonable brain that wants to get an education. Trust me, everybody wants to do well. Right. But we're certainly discovering that we couldn't override these primitive responses. So that's how my career started. And it's been 30 years of me learning every day about new neuroscientific discoveries and how that's impacting education. My passion has really been, in all the studying of the neuroscience over these 30 years, to bring those discoveries to education and how we are addressing this very real fact in our schools.
Okay, you mentioned injuries that children, perhaps when they had injuries or past experiences that might be considered trauma or traumatizing. So can you tell me, can you give us some examples of what those might be?
Absolutely. They start in the womb. They start in the womb. So we are, of course, a developing organism. And so anything that happens or doesn't happen in these critical developmental stages of life from conception onward have the capacity to injure or cause adaptations in the brain that can be problematic, can be helpful. Healthy mechanisms develop, unhealthy mechanisms develop as a result of what we're experiencing throughout our development in the womb. If a mother is in a domestically violent situation and her heart rate and blood pressure is going up every day, in fact, how would it come down, right? There's this There is the traumatization of her brain, keeping her stuck on high in her life, because who knows when it's going to happen again. And when you're stuck on high heart rate and blood pressure and adrenaline in your life, and you are developing a baby in your womb, that baby is absorbing and developing within that neurobiological context of high heart rate, high blood pressure, glucocorticoids, which is our, you know, our stress hormones. And it alters brain development. It alters us in a way that when we are born, we're born more vulnerable. If we don't get the things that we need in those first years of life as the brain is developing, then by the end of the third year of life, when we're supposed to have more of a self-regulating system because we've gotten what we've needed from conception to the end of the third year of life, if we've gotten what we've needed, we're generally pretty self-regulated. So we've discovered ways of soothing. We need our parents to soothe us up until the end of the third year of life, and responding in a timely manner. And if they are doing that responsiveness, then we, by the end of our third year of life, have something called self-regulation. If not, then we're dysregulated. And so the parenting, the bonding, the attachment, the gestational maturation, all of that, so many things can happen that can cause a dysregulated learner by the time they get to preschool. You know, they're four and they're five and they're coming to kindergarten and they're supposed to be able to sit still, which developmentally is not exactly accurate, even in the best of circumstances. A lot of our five-year-olds, especially boys, just through brain maturation in normal development, struggle with that. But I do want to highlight that our development, our neurobiological development, brain development, whether we're getting what we need or we're not, if we're being deprived, if there is unrest in an extreme way. I'm not talking about mild to moderate stressors. I'm talking about beyond moderate to more extreme stressors, like poverty, domestic violence, substance abuse, traumatic brain injury because of being shaken or having fallen and not gotten the proper care. A lot of environments are very chaotic, very stressful, very chaotic. Parents are doing the best that they can, and yet their lives are very stressful and very chaotic. And this is changing who our learners are. By the time they come to us, a lot of them are what we would call dysregulated and without self-regulation.
With our audience being primarily educators, so if an educator receives a child like this, then what can they do and what are some suggestions you might have for dealing with a child that's been traumatized?
Oh my goodness, there are so many things, right? So I created an entire curriculum around all of the many, 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 many things we can do as educators. We can really offset this for brain development. The brain is very, very malleable when they get to us. There is so much we can do to change how these children are experiencing their world. School is a whole world for them. And when they come and experience this whole world, their brain is soaking all of that up. It's orienting and really getting pulled towards what feels healthy and safe and consistent and comfortable and soothing and inspiring and where you meet that child where they're at and with your self-regulated system, and they soak up your self-regulated system like a sponge. co-regulation between these children and the adults in their school environment. There are ways to set up your classroom. I mean, my curriculum goes into absolutely everything. Ways you can set up your classroom, ways you can be taking really good care of yourselves as teachers to make sure you do feel balanced and yummy in your system. And then of course, ways to train them to be able to sit in a more regulated fashion in their chair, to really feel their bodies more present, their brains more present. And there's so many sensory tools, you see. What we're learning is that we need to go sensory. So we can't just be having nice chats with our students to help them to feel safer, to say, hey, you're okay here. You're okay here. I'm not a threat. This is a safe environment for you. You're safe. You're fine. You're going to be just fine while you're here. Well, we can't use our words. We have to really create an environment and our own system, and then teach them sensory tools that help them to become more grounded in their chair and eventually more regulated. And so, of course, you know, one of the most researched of the mechanisms that I teach is the 60 seconds toolkit, and that is taught in the course. You know, there are so many. I've got an entire curriculum and the whole course, and it's all about equipping teachers with how to bring children to a more self-regulated state. It's so doable. Oh my goodness, it's so doable. Once we shift from so many words trying to talk them into feeling safer and better and more self-regulated, we're going to actually lead them through 60 seconds of a toolkit each morning and get them on their way, because that creates neural pathways for self-regulation very quickly.
Okay, can you talk just for a second? We've just gone through COVID, in which many children were at home for an extended period of time and more isolated. So is there anything that teachers can do, understanding that experience for children was a very difficult time in their life that other children haven't experienced? So would that be defined as trauma?
It could be. Listen, not every child that experiences trauma becomes traumatized. So the definition of traumatization has to do with changes in the brain that show up behaviorally. So if you see a dysregulated child, you're going to see, and this is all taught in the course, so I'm not sure how much we need to go into these things here, but it is, they're either going to show up as, you know, really under aroused, where they're kind of spacey and not really there, you know, their body is sitting in your classroom, but, you know, nobody's home kind of thing. Anywhere from that to someone who's actually over aroused and, you know, what we're labeling, you know, hyperactive, and what we're saying is, you know, anger, aggression, paranoia, not being able to sit still or focus or concentrate. These are the behavioral manifestations of a dysregulated nervous system. And when that shows up, now we know there's trouble. There's trouble in the parts of their brain that help them to be more self-regulated. So when you see that, you know that they have been isolated in a more chaotic situation, that their parents don't have the kind of resources to have seen them through this very difficult time in a way where they're showing up to school regulated, right? It's teachers know. I mean, they know. Unfortunately, the over-aroused get our attention a lot more than our under-aroused. But teachers can see this. I call it zero-tenning, right? So there's the 10, which is really over aroused. There's the 0 that's really under aroused. And teachers notice these things. And when you do see that, you are trying to get through to a dysregulated learner that needs shifts. We need to work with them in a sensory way with really quick and easy ways to start them right from the beginning of the day, getting grounded and present into this lesson, this classroom, this present moment. We can no longer assume that they come to school ready to go. They're not. They do not arrive to school ready to go. Those days are over. We've been through COVID. We know the stresses of the everyday working person who's juggling multiple jobs and their children, and many of them single parents. And we just need to be in the reality of who it is that's coming into our classrooms now and recognize that we've got to get the brain ready for this period of learning. And we can do that with the tools that I teach in the course that are seconds long, that are more sensory, that will rewire the brain for more self-regulated learning. What this is about is recognizing as educators that way more kids in your classroom than you know are struggling. And those that aren't struggling yet will, because we are human animals on planet trauma, and this is a very stressed out planet. And so we need, as a whole classroom, to address that at the beginning of the day, where we recognize, hey guys, I know that you've all had to do whatever you've had to do to get here today. I'm already stressed out from my morning routine and rushing here and juggling. We're going to get our brains ready for this next segment of learning. So it isn't about, oh, somebody's in crisis. Here's what I'm going to do. I've waited until this person is demonstrably unregulated. No, there are plenty of things for that in the curriculum. But the passion needs to be, our energy needs to be around recognizing this in our whole classrooms, in our own life as teachers, with what we're dealing with, how we can use sensory tools for ourselves to get really grounded with our class, and all of us together acknowledge and recognize the stress levels we're under, what it takes just to get to school and be there, to recognize the humanity, one and the other, that, wow, okay, who knows what we've all been through since we saw each other last. Let's get ready. Let's get our brains ready for this present moment, this lesson, and where we are right now. And we need seconds-long sensory tools that help us to do that. So it's like a ready, set, go. And unfortunately, there's this assumption, bell-to-bell teaching, okay, they're all here, sit down, let's go, let's get started, without a recognition that a lot of those brains, whether they're showing up in obvious ways to you right now or not, those kids are spacey, they're dissociated, they're floating off into another universe, they're still thinking about what argument they had with somebody on the playground. They're concerned that they didn't come with their homework today because nobody helped them with their homework yesterday. You got a kid over in this part of the classroom with the leg bouncing and the jaws clenching, ready to, oh my gosh, what bad thing is going to happen today? How am I going to mess up? I mean, there's so much of that going on, and they're trying really hard to hide that, just like we are as teachers. We're showing up and we're trying to hide that we are exhausted, we're stressed out, we got in a fight with our kids in the car this morning. I'm telling you, we have got to start acknowledging that we all have a nervous system. This is what it means to be trauma-informed as educators. And what do we do in seconds-long sensory ways? Because we have a curriculum to teach. I'm an educator. I'm not showing up here today as a mental health provider trying to bring mental health into the schools. I'm an educator. These are seconds-long things that we need to do as educators to acknowledge the reality of what's going on in the brain of all of us, the brain of each and every one of us, because of all the stress that we're under. And yes, this is very COVID-related, that we're all experiencing even more than before. But if we all recognize what was going on pre-COVID, we had enormous amounts of stress affecting our nervous system, and not acknowledging it and not having really sound, quick tools to shift it, to do anything about it. So this is, you know, what the course offers and what it means to be trauma-informed.
Okay, Reggie, with the time we have left, can you talk a little bit about some of the various resources if an educator was interested, besides the online learning class? What else do you have available, and where can they find your materials?
Yeah, the online course, I'm excited about it because it isn't being taught enough. There aren't enough educators being made aware of the things that we're talking about here today. So I'm excited about the online course really introducing tools that can start to be used right away, the next day. You don't need any special training beyond it. And having said that, I do, you know, the curriculum brain charge that I created has been enormously successful and helpful to so many educators all across, oh my goodness, I hear from all kinds of countries around the world that are using brain charge and finding it very helpful. So there's an entire curriculum, K to 12 curriculum. There is a teacher guide that even goes beyond. It gives more than 50 tools, more than 50 seconds long ways for teachers to get started in this trauma-informed way so that you have self-regulated learners in your classroom. So there's the curriculum, there's the teacher guide, brain charge, the teacher guide that goes along with the curriculum. You can start with one or the other, but they work beautifully together. There's also, I would say that the book I wrote before that, The 60 Seconds Fix, is also really excellent together with my app, which is, all of these things are really inexpensive. I try to keep all of my prices very, very affordable. I want them to be accessible. So I have an app called Dr. Reggie Melrose, and on there, I have audio tools and video tools that will take you through all of these sensory ways to get us more balanced, more regulated, feeling a lot more yummy inside, so that the kids that we influence, our children, our own children at home, our children in our classrooms, can really absorb from us as well. And then it becomes so natural for us to teach to them and want them to have also. So you can use the curriculum, the teacher guide, the 60 Seconds Fix book that goes together with the Dr. Reggie Melrose app, my YouTube channel. There's so much more. If you go to Dr. Reggie Melrose, the actual YouTube channel, there's so much there. I have blogs and newsletters in the archives that you can go to at my website. There's so much at drmelrose.com and at my YouTube channel. I really want to empower people with lots and lots of resources. So the online course is just a wonderful introduction to a whole world of getting equipped with seconds long things so that you can get onto your curriculum. But I don't want you trying to get through a dysregulated brain. I want you to have a learner that you're getting to teach to. So if you don't think you have the time to take 60 seconds to get the brain ready, believe me, you're wasting all kinds of time when you're trying to teach a brain that isn't ready. So please, I really hope that people understand the importance of recognizing our nervous system, their nervous system, and getting it ready for learning.
Dr. Melrose, this sounds great. I know I myself have learned a great deal today. And thank you. We will put on the screen your website where people can go and find some other resources if they're interested in what they've heard today, which I'm sure they will be. So again, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Me too. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.